Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
Hi guys, I'm Jamie Oliver and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, HRN is celebrating 10 years of food radio. How amazing. For the past decade, they've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and so much more. It's been 10 years, and they're just getting started. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
What up? I'm Marissa.
I'm Adam.
And welcome to Natural Disasters.
Look at that. 2 months off and we still got it.
Yeah, we were worried about not having our sea legs on this first at bat.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, Marissa and I took a little bit of time off, a little bit because it's the holidays and a little bit because we wanted to come back stronger.
Yep.
So we're back and we are recording in a new place. Hopefully our sound is up to par. We'll find out afterwards.
Yep.
There's a lot of big things. There are a lot of big things that are coming up that we have, very, very soon.
Very soon. Yeah. Lots of cool stuff. Which we will talk about later on the episode. To get started, let's talk about what we're drinking today. We are drinking the Sonoma Mountain Winery, co-ferment. It's the Cuvée Charmaire 2017. It's 70% Chardonnay and 30% Merlot.
What the fuck?
Delicious. Town.
It is delicious. Absolutely delicious. It's a really beautiful.
It is like the most vibrant.
It's like glowing
coral.
In the dark.
Yeah, it's like a really, really beautiful, vibrant coral. Almost like if you took coral and magenta, kind of an orange, and put it all together. In a
coral is kind of spot on. It looks like
neon coral.
Do you guys remember the 90s?
I do remember the 90s.
Do you remember ever going to like someone's house and like, I feel like this color palette was kind of like.
Yes.
I think it was very like Western, but mixed with like the sea.
It was like Southwest, like New Mexico.
Yeah,
vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like always paired with teal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This color is just like, it reminds me of like 90s Santa Fe. Like we need a Kachina doll.
Yes.
And like some turquoise rings.
I could have brought some. I wish I had known.
Next time.
So we chose this wine because just like Adam and myself, this is a California wine, California native, made by an awesome California native family.
Yeah.
The Couturis. So this is Nick Couturis' wine. And Adam and I really love this wine because it really honors California's past while being like really progressive and playful. I mean, it's 70% Chardonnay and 30% Merlot.
Yeah. It's this great intersection between the tradition and the modern, which is kind of, I think, what California is all about. And I think especially what's happening in California right now is a lot of people, Nick being one of them, you're looking to the past for inspiration, but the inspiration you're pulling into is these sort of either, I don't know if you say newer ideas or older ideas. I think co-ferment is like a little bit more of an older idea, but it's just it's understanding tradition, but also
pushing it forward.
Yeah, and I love it. And I think that's what's so exciting. And that's sort of what makes what's happening in wine in general right now so excited.
Absolutely.
Exciting.
And I mean, so like we said, this is a beautiful, vibrant coral color. On the nose, you get, I mean, to me, it's like a grapefruit covered in glitter. And the glitter is made with lime zest. That's what I feel like this wine smells like.
It smells like a daiquiri.
That too, yeah.
Yeah.
it smells really good.
It's got like that rummy quality to it.
Yeah, there's a suntan oiliness to it in a good way.
And then like definitely lime.
Yeah, I love it. It's a grapefruit covered in lime glitter suntan oil.
Yeah.
On a Northern California beach, like not too hot.
Yeah, I don't know any Northern, in San Francisco, where is it? At
I was gonna say like Santa Cruz. Maybe.
What's the place where all the bros go?
In
San Francisco?
I don't spend much time up there. So
it's all the bros. Anyway.
Anyways, where the bros go, it's not too hot.
Yeah, where the cool weather bros go.
Yeah, where the cool
when weather. The migrant bros, the bros
like
that are
whoever shops at Mollusk Surf Shop. That's
oh
like,
yeah, right, totally. Yeah, totally. Or maybe it spends a little too much time at REI not buying anything.
Yes,
they're just like,
why are you sub pod tweeting me right now?
What do you mean?
Oh well, you know how like you can like I fucked that up, but you know how people can like sub tweet you. It's like when they like are talking about you but don't at you.
Yeah,
it's just like. You're you sub me. Like, I'm right
Do you
here.
Do that?
No.
Do you go to REI and just walk around and not buy anything? Well,
Ben has done that. I mean, we don't not buy anything. It's just like, Ben is usually doing a lot of like actual researched buying, and I'm like looking at the tiny little tents.
Yeah, no, totally. It's
and
always.
I'm like, ooh, like look at these tents for dogs.
We could use this.
This could be for Zizu.
Or like the like $2,000 camping stove that you're like, we'll use this. Oh, I promise.
Actually, our stove went out and we did use our camping stove. And there you go. Great. Anyways, back on track. I guess not too much has changed. So, that's the aroma of this, but what's
flavor?
What's on the palate? Still like super grapefruity. I'm just getting like punched
in
the
face. Yeah, total citrus, total brightness. You know, when you read it and you see that it's got Chardonnay and Merlot, I feel like my mind told me that these aren't the flavors to expect.
No, not at all.
I was expecting something weightier, bigger, fuller.
I was expecting that as well, and I was expecting a lot more tropical notes. Like I was expecting like the Chardonnay to come through in more of a, like, a pineapple way,
yeah.
And I was expecting the Merlot to come through in a bit more of a jammy way.
Yeah, totally, and totally. I mean, that's just these are not those at all. These are really high tone. Really, you can't see because it's a podcast, but my hand is above my head.
Yeah.
It's all the way up here.
It's super, it's just very, very elevated. Everything about it is very elevated. It's light, it's bright, but it's punchy and delicious. It's sort of like the most incredible cranberry, like grapefruit lemonade.
Yeah. Did your parents ever buy you the no sugar added juice? Like Knudsen? My mom was a big...
I know what you're talking about.
They had
about,
to like
but...
dilute. Like if you drink it too much of it straight.
Oh, yeah, no. We still get that at home, so...
It tastes like... It's like that super concentrated cranberry juice that has no sugar in it. And you're just like, ugh.
It's like if you...
I must have a kidney infection because why am I drinking this? Or a UTI.
I've never had a UTI, but I hear that they're a real pain in the pussy. Anyways.
Men can get them too.
Real pain in the penis. I'm just going for peas. Their alliterations are my thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, so super high concentrated cranberry, grapefruit, like lemonade-y, like very elevated.
Yeah, totally.
I really love it. So definitely be on the lookout for it. It's the Sonoma Mountain.
I did get word that, so there's, I know there's a little bit of this around in LA, but if you can't find this particular co-ferment, I highly recommend any of the Sonoma Mountain wines.
Yeah, Sonoma Mountain Winery.
There's a Merlot that's pretty kicking.
They make a lot of really cool stuff. They're import or I guess distributed by Percy Selections. So definitely be on the lookout for them. Also too, I'm just noticing I'm just looking on the label and to give you an idea of what the label looks like. And there will be a picture of this very cleanly on our Instagram.
It's true. We're working on that.
We already took the photo. We're being professional. You know, it's a clean white with a really nice, I don't even know it's what this font would be considered or typeface. But anyways, while I was looking at it, I'm very surprised it's 13.5% alcohol.
Yeah. Nick, I know the thing I do know about Nick, is that he is, conscious of the idea that California, because of its weather, can be a little higher in alcohol, and he doesn't
shy away from it.
Yeah, and he doesn't substitute phenolic ripeness for low alcohol. Yeah. So he does believe that grapes should be ripe.
But also, but you would never taste this wine and think it was 13.5.
No, it's incredibly balanced.
I would absolutely, like, there is not that heavy alcohol finish on it. And even though it does have, like, that, as we talked about, that kind of, like, rummy, daiquiri, suntanny lotion kind of the vibe on the nose, I would never in a million years would think this was 13.5. I would think it was 12, easy.
I agree. I had a wine of his that was, like, 16% alcohol, and I had no clue and drank way too much of it and was... blotto accidentally. So be careful.
I know that game.
Yeah. But it because it didn't taste like it.
Yeah. No, I'm very surprised. So yeah. So that's the wine that we're drinking today. And like I said before, we chose it because, you know, we're a couple Californians and we have all of our history here. And so does Sonoma Mountain Winery. Nick Couture is Tony Couture's son. Mm-hmm. And Tony Couture is pretty much a legend in the California and natural wine communities, regardless of.
Yeah, it's crazy when you look back and see how long he's been at this.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see what his son is doing, because they're definitely very different. I think have very different perspectives in terms of what you're getting out of the glass. I don't think there's any confusing like a Tony Couture wine for.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not like you're just. It's not like bottling someone else's wine and then labeling it as such.
Yeah.
These are absolutely completely different,
but still like made with such skill and care. And I love seeing that sort of, I love seeing that shine through on both sides of it. It's really cool. So we're coming back to you guys in this new episode 201, if you will.
I like that. I like that. 201.
Yeah, it's like season two, episode one. So our first one was a bit of a learning experience. You know, we didn't really take it too seriously. Yeah, a big curve. I mean, we're still on the curve.
I went back and listened to early episodes, just like snippets of them early on, to sort of remind myself of what why we're doing. Yeah,
this.
why we and what we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Wow, those are wild.
Yeah, we were just doing it for fun.
And
we were still doing it to have fun. But now we just really want to focus on like.
Speaking of which. Blue Apron. No, I'm joking.
I was like, what? You're like, speaking of which, quit interrupting me, Marissa. Some things never change. But yeah, we really want to be a service to both the consumers and the wine community. And we want to give you a better experience. And with that, we just thought we would reintroduce ourselves to you guys, as well as like kind of what we want to do with this podcast. So I know that we've talked about it in the past, but Adam and I... We'll talk about how we're gonna tell you the story of Adam and I.
Yeah, we're about how we ended up in
here
on a stage at Genghis Cohen
in the heart of Los Angeles, California,
recording a podcast.
Adam, you start.
So, strangely enough, I met Marissa through Instagram, through social media. It kind of, in some weird way, it's this, I don't want to say it's like a full circle thing, but there is this weird sort of, it is interesting that our friendship blossomed and grew and is what it is today, because I discovered Marissa was doing an event on the Instagram Discover page.
It's like the only good thing that's ever happened on the Discover page, really.
For me, my Discover page now is almost 100% basketball or SoundCloud rappers.
Mine is 100% models that I will never be as pretty as.
That's
it's
weird.
It's really fucked up.
No, it's like...
It's upsetting.
It's going into your insecurities.
It is. It does.
Yeah,
it
mine's
is.
Like... It's either Post Malone, SoundCloud rappers, LeBron James.
Lucky.
And so I was on the Discovery page. I was doing something. I was doing events, and I was just looking for like-minded people, in all honesty. And I thought social media might be the chance for that. And I discovered that someone was doing a one-woman show that involved the history of her wine drinking. And I thought, at a comedy festival, not even at anything that was related to wine. And I was like, that sounds exactly what I'm looking for. That seems like the thing that I'm craving, this outside sort of this outsider perspective on wine. And it doesn't get more outsider than I think it was an all woman's comedy show.
Yeah.
And Marissa was doing a one woman show about her history of wine drinking. And I was like, if this isn't it, turned out it was. I went with a friend of mine. And we watched the show, and we actually bought Marissa a bottle or a glass of
Cabernet
and sent it to her on stage. Afterwards, there was like a little, it was like, you know, after the show, there was a meet and greet, I think.
Yeah,
we
were just drinking.
Yeah. And so we introduced ourselves to Marissa, and for anybody that doesn't know, she used to be really personable and friendly. Not so much anymore. Now it's all scarves and yes, sunglasses and don't talk to me. No,
don't
so we
look me in the eyes, Adam.
So we introduced ourselves and we hit it off. And I think it was you, your sister, and Ben.
Yeah, and my really good friend Ryan.
And she was like, "We're all going to go drink. Do you guys want to come with us?" And we all went out and we all drank, and we just from that became friends.
Yeah.
And it grew from a friendship into what it is today, but it's still a friendship. But
I'm like, where are you going with that?
Well, I was going to say like now it's into
now we are business partners.
Yeah. Purely. Everything's contractual. No, I'm just saying that like, you know, it started as a friendship and it really just all because of Instagram in some weird way.
Yeah. And it was really cool because for me, you know, I did this 30-minute one woman comedy show on the history of my drinking from Franzia. It was like, The evolution of wine drinking from Franzia to Cab Franc. And it was just like me talking on stage and then serving the wines. And Adam drank the most Franzia out of anyone there. Like, my sister was pouring everyone the wines and she was like, dude, these dudes in the back are like super into the Franzia. And
it was
like,
was it White Zinfandel?
It was the White Zin, yeah.
Fuck yeah, we were crushing it. I think at the time, I'm not excusing it because I will drink it now to this day. I'm just, at the time, it had a little bit of residual sugar. It was ice cold. It was like,
it made sense.
I was in a bar.
You were also looking to disrupt.
Yeah, exactly. And I was looking to be, and I really just, I hadn't had Franzia out of a box ever, maybe.
It still makes me gag. It's like, ooh.
And I couldn't believe how much we enjoyed it, strangely.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
But I think we were doing shots of it. This was a time in my life where I was doing shots of wine as opposed to actually drinking them.
Yes, and this was when Adam was doing Wine Rave.
Yeah, with my partner Maxwell Lear, who's now in New York.
So it was cool because like they came to my comedy show and they were kind of the first people I actually met in the wine industry, you know, because I had been pursuing comedy writing. For those of you that didn't know that, I dropped out of college, moved to LA to be a comedy writer and performer. And they came, and then it was cool for me because on my end, it was this weird validation of like, not weird. It was a validation for me because I didn't have any confidence in the wine world. Like, I didn't know anyone in the wine world. I didn't think that I belonged in the wine world. And I really did feel like I was an outsider and I just would always kind of be on the outside looking in. And Adam, you know, when I met Adam and he came to that show and then we started hanging out, you know, it finally kind of gave me the confidence to be like, oh, I can, I'm allowed to be a part of wine. Like, not everyone is super stuffy and old and like weird and hates me. Not that that was really a problem back then yet. But it was really cool because I felt like, oh, I found a community in a way, really quickly. And, you know, and then like Adam and I went to, like Koba Wu with, Robert Brownson, Farm.
And Maxwell, we all went out to lunch.
We all went out to lunch, which turned into dinner. And then like us sabering, they taught me how to saber in the alley behind Domain LA. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I didn't know, like, I could have so much fun with people that knew so much about wine.
I will say, and I'm going to speak highly about myself and Maxwell at the time. We were outliers at that time.
You were, yeah.
We were not your typical.
They were Wine Rave.
We were Wine Rave. We were already a little bit on the fringe. So.
But you were very well known in the community though.
Yeah, I guess. Yes.
And then I wrote about Wine Rave for wine enthusiasts, which is very hilarious to look back on. That was like my first print piece, was on Wine Rave. And you know, we filmed some sabering videos together, and then we built a teepee at Beefsteak for Eric Wareheim before Eric Wareheim really, you know, knew us or was, you know, was a part of like
the wine community,
in the way he is now. Yeah. So it was like, it's a really cool thing. And so now, and then Adam started at Hatchet Hall and we kind of had like a pause on our friendship. And then now we're back and it's cool. And it's really great because I think that Adam and I bring very different things to the podcast.
Yeah. My favorite, I mean, when we suggested doing a podcast, my favorite part about it, and I think I've mentioned this before, is that Marissa comes from a consumer to a profession, where I went from a profession, I feel like, into more of a consumer. Like, my perspective on wine started more professionally, where yours started as more of a consumer.
Absolutely.
Because my professional career started as I was consuming wine. I was 21 years old. So, like, so I really like the reason why I reached out initially to go see that is because I loved the idea of seeing what consumers were saying, what consumers were thinking, what, because you know, we as the people we get accused of, but it's probably true, where we're dictating culture to some degree in natural wine, and we can be the gatekeepers to some degree. I really am always fascinated by what the people who are just discovering it, the 22-year-old, the 23-year-old, the 60-year-old, the person who's like, I just had natural wine and I love it. Those are the people that I get most excited about.
Me too. Yeah, it's absolutely. And for me, that was always my MO was always, and I still want this to always be, is that like, you can never know everything about wine and you're constantly learning. And I want to learn with people because that's how I know as much as I do. Like, I learned on my own, but I learned with other people around me, like with the help of like with Adam, or like with the help with, you know, Jill of Domain LA and like Lou of Lou Wine Shop and like these people. And like now, like with Quinn and Zach at Psychic, like you learn through community.
Yeah. And for me personally, I love the fact that when I met you, you were like, don't know. And now, like, there's so much confidence. And it's like, I sometimes am like, not sometimes, actually quite often, I'll be like, I don't know. And Marissa's like, oh, here you go.
Well, we just
I love that.
But I feel the same way where it's like, there's some things I just don't know about. Like, for example, I just recently learned about mercapsin. It's a thing with reductive. It's like a particular compound with reduction that can happen with wines. But see, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. But Josh Eubank was like, we were just, you know, he mentioned it at dinner when we were drinking together last week. And then I was like, huh, I've never heard of that. So then like after he left, I was like up
Googling.
reading up on it. And then the next day we had a conversation about it. I still can't really obviously explain that much about it because I haven't had enough experience with it. And that's kind of a cool thing about wine is that like you do, like your knowledge grows with the more experience you have and the more wine you drink. And that's something really important for us with the podcast in terms of like, we really want to make sure that we're going through those things with you, like, and want, you know, it's not like we know everything. I definitely don't.
I do. I know everything.
He does know a lot more than
no,
me.
No, I don't.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world. Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
I remember there was I heard a story of someone while I was working in restaurants as a wine buyer, and a rep told me a story that another wine buyer had told him that he doesn't need to taste wine anymore because he has tasted everything. And I will never forget that because it was one of those things where I was like, wow, that is crazy to me because it's like the opposite of wine. Every year it changes. Yeah. It's constantly changing.
No, and like, that's the part.
And there's always new.
And that's like part of the reason that we wanted to bring like this. This is part of the reason why we chose the Sonoma Mountain co-ferment Charmer because, I wonder, it must be Charmer. I don't know. It's Charmer. I don't know.
Charmer. I think it's Charmer. I think it's like a
maybe. Well, it's Chardon. It doesn't matter.
C H A R M E R. Charmer.
The reason we chose it though is because like. And not to say that mixing red wines and white wines is anything new by any means, but like it's cool because like how in a billion years, if someone tried to blind taste that motherfucker on this wine, there's no way that he probably would guess that this is a Sonoma like wine.
No, it's impossible.
Impossible. And like it's constantly learning. And yeah, it's interesting. And I think
there's no way. Do you think people? Do you think people can call co-ferments? I feel like that'd be real difficult.
I think it'd be really difficult. I think
because your brain, or at least for me, my like I'm speaking for everybody now because I'm a white male and that's what I do. For me, my brain doesn't even go there. I don't even think about it. It doesn't even enter my.
That's interesting though because that's like I think a lot of your background is like you went through sommelier training. For me, like I would smell this and kind of immediately go to co-ferment, but I wouldn't know the region. But that's because most of my experience has been in wines over the last like, 7 years where these sorts of things have become a little bit more popular. If I got this, I think I would know it was a co-ferment, but I would probably think it was from Australia.
Yeah.
But also another warm weather climate.
Yeah. And Australia is a little bit more known for wines of this style. This style fits a little bit more of like an Australian
Absolutely.
Style.
You know, while we're here and we're talking about ourselves and, you know, just kind of getting back in the groove of podcasting, you know, another important part of like this episode for us was like, you know, to kind of talk about like our public images and personas versus like the reality of things. You know, Adam and I both have active internet lives.
Yeah, we are some people. I mean, I hate that word influencer, because it's a weird it's a weird word, but I've heard it thrown around for Marissa, and I will say recently someone called me that, and I was like,
it's a weird word.
But yes, we are active on social media,
and like those things, you know, like Adam, for example, has Adam's natural wine account is very it's hilarious, but also can be aggressive, and some people take it. Some things never change. I'm just teasing.
That was a joke burp. That was. I pushed a button. That was a. Folly or whatever.
Yep. That was just for jokes. Although that was a pretty good burp. You know, like with natural wine, Adam, I think, you know, has like a more aggressive way of doing things, but we're kind of both doing the same thing in the sense that like we both love poking fun at the culture of wine. And we love like kind of exposing those things and disrupting those things, just like in the same way that like your wine rave was doing, and like the way that I was like doing these comedy shows. And but that, like, whether it's Adam's like kind of a, I'm sorry, I'm calling them like,
they're disruptive.
They're purposefully disruptive memes.
It's intentionally controversial.
I'd say provocative.
Yes. I'm trying to get people to engage.
Yeah. But in that, I think that you, like Adam, like as someone that knows Adam very well, like Adam's one of my best friends. Like, I think that, you know, you don't really get to know Adam through that. And
vis-a-vis.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think that a lot of people, for whatever reason, think that, I mean, I know why everyone thinks I just drink 24/7. It's because that's all they see on the internet. Just like all they see of Adam on the internet is like these kind of confrontational, provocative conversations going on. And, you know, we're two real people that, like, even though, yes, we like want to poke fun and like we want to talk about the industry in a disruptive way and like sort of...
Yeah, I only punched 4 people on my way here today.
That's perfect. That's great. you know, but both of those things, like both of our, I think both of our like kind of public images, personas come from a place of like very, very high self-awareness.
Yes.
Like I think that we both are like, we know that, like we know what we're doing, and we also are like playing on our own insecurities.
I always tell people all the jokes I make on Instagram are 100% about me.
No, absolutely. Like people will get like upset with me. They're like, I did some posts where they're like, where I was like, did you know that you can review wine without Wi-Fi, without posting it on the internet? And like all these people were like, wow, like way to be like, way to put down like all of your, and I'm like, dude, I'm making fun of myself here. Like, I'm saying that like, I don't need to do this all the time, but I do. And it's fucking ridiculous. Like,
whenever I mention anything that's like, like this is such a Psalm Life thing, I'm referencing myself. Something
because you did.
I've done.
Because you had a Psalm
something
Life.
Sometimes it's stuff I still do and I catch myself. I'm like,
are you saying that you still go to Pebble Beach and do a bunch of blow?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm saying that I it's more like either, yes, it's stuff I've done or it's stuff that like I catch myself doing and I'm like, why did I just do this action? Like, what was the impetus behind this action that I just took? And then I analyze it and I'm like, oh my God, if I do this, that means a lot of other people do this.
Absolutely. And like, that's the cool thing about comedy and like why I wanted to be like a comedy writer. You know, my personal, like, I know that it seems like I put everything in the fucking world on Instagram, but really I have like a very personal life, very private life that like a lot of people don't see it has a lot of pain in it. And like, for me, like that's the reason I really got into comedy, was because I felt that making like what got me through the hardest times in my life was like laughing and like laughing at things. And I still want us to be able to like laugh at ourselves and like laugh about wine and laugh about wine culture and like not have it be this serious thing, because the world is so fucking serious. But in that, like in that, doing that on the internet, that does also put Adam and I both in these boxes that doesn't allow people to necessarily see us for who we really are. And now with the podcast, like coming back, you know, and us like taking it a bit more seriously, we want to showcase more of the reality of the situation. And the reality is that we really, really care about natural wine. And
I was going to say my Instagram is now going to be all fit pics. So
did you just join a new gym?
Yeah, no, it's just going to be me like posted.
You mean fits as in like basketball fits.
Yeah. Like just like wearing cool
outfits.
Clothes. Yeah.
It's
not like fit, like I'm fit. Like, yeah. Like
yeah,
my
outfits.
So it's just going to be me like hanging out in front of like Supreme on Fairfax.
No, you can just do what I do and just take photos in your dirty ass long mirror.
It's
fine.
No, it's just gonna be that. So for now
to
on,
promote the reality.
I'm just letting everybody know from now on, from this day forward, no more wine. It's just me with Supreme and Off-White and Chinatown Market and all those cool
Anyways,
brands.
Anyways, as I was saying, so the podcast is to promote the reality of the situation, which is that we really do care about natural wine. We really care about our community, and we really care about consumers, and we really want to take that seriously while still having fun. And moving forward, I know that like this episode has been a little bit, you know, just us like getting our sea legs back.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, we really, really, really want to promote more conversation and more community and more curiosity in the wines that not only are we consuming and like the things that we're talking about, but also with you guys, our listeners.
Yeah, and I think that Marissa and I both, the one of the main things that we focus on is the consumer. And for instance, my persona and me making fun of wine professionals, and you not coming from a wine professional background, what we're most concerned with is ultimately the consumer. And that's who we're trying to, you know, that's who I want to connect
with.
Well,
no, and that's, and like I've been very fortunate to have a career in that I write for the consumer, which is sometimes hard. You know, I don't know, you know, especially the deeper you go into wine, the harder it is to kind of keep your head out of your ass.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know, like it's like, because I, you know, like for example, all right, we've been talking about this co-ferment wine, right?
Yeah.
The term co-ferment, like we didn't even really talk about what that means. It means that there's, you know, like we just are assuming that everyone.
Fuck, we are so fucked. Yeah. Oh God, we're awful. Yeah, no. So what is a co-ferment?
A co-ferment are two fermentations.
It's when you're fermenting with two different grapes.
Yeah.
But it's now become synonymous with a white and a red.
Yes.
So it's when you take Chardonnay, Merlot, and you ferment them. Maybe you harvest them together
and ferment them together. Whereas blends are fermented separately and Correct. Then blended afterwards.
And most co-ferments that most people do, I mean, Shut Enough to Pop is kind of famous for having some white varieties.
Yeah.
Other places sort of have.
I said, yeah, like I knew what you
incorporated
were talking
white varietals into red. I think like another one is like the Northern Rhone, a little bit of Viognier in with the Syrah. Like these are common things, but this is where you're taking really like a large portion, 30-40% of a red and a large portion, you know, 60-70% of a white, or vice versa. It's seriously like almost an equal fermentation.
Yeah, they're just fermenting together versus Correct. like you said, like instead of like blending afterwards, you know, because like for example, a lot of wines, like in California, I know like wines can be, they can say that they're Cabernet, but they actually can have like a certain amount of Merlot.
25%.
Then, yeah. So you can, and that's blended though to taste, you
Correct.
Know? So it's different. So it's different than a blend. A co-ferment is like, actually these are together and like, there's no going back. It's sort of like baking. Co-fermenting is sort of like baking where it's like you put it in the oven.
I said bacon. And I was like,
I guess it could be.
No,
if it's
baking.
Baking, yeah. Yes. But I guess some could taste like bacon. Who knows?
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it's like. It's like once it's in the oven.
No, once it's in the oven, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know. And it's like, all right, I guess I just got to wait till it's done and we'll see how it turns out. So yeah, so there's some stuff about co-ferment we should have talked about a long time ago.
No, this was all on purpose to get you to listen to the whole pod.
Yeah, and we, you know, we know that we made mistakes in our first like season, let's call it.
Yeah.
And we know that we were doing our best, and we're still going to continue to do our best. And like, the thing is that we want to promote growth in the wine community with consumers, and also within like the actual natural wine community of professionals. And then we also want to promote our own growth, like for Adam and I with the podcast and with our listeners. And, you know, while this first episode is very, very much how we've always been, moving forward, like we're going to be focusing on, like we said, like conversation, community, and like really bringing information that is relevant to consumers and also wine professionals.
Correct.
Hopefully.
We are.
Hopefully.
Think of us as
Good Samaritans doing our best.
yeah. And on that.
So yeah, so that's what this is. This is a new start for us. This is gross. Gross.
Oh, were you going to cheers?
Hold on. And on that note, this is our growth. We are going to continue growing. We want to continue to grow with you. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
And we're really, really excited And yeah, so a couple quick announcements.
Yes. First, this is our last episode.
No. Yeah. We came back just to tell you, just to tell you about ourselves again, because we already did it once, and then to tell you goodbye forever. No, yeah. we're kidding. We're really excited about all of those things. And just a reminder that, you know, please subscribe, review if you like us. If you don't like us, I mean, you don't have to review it. It's fine.
I like the bad shit. So I know Marissa doesn't. I dig it. But anyway.
And then, please subscribe and review. And again, we are on Instagram at Natural Disasters Pod. We are taking submissions from listeners about topics that they would like to hear about.
Absolutely.
And if it's something that we've already covered, that's okay. You can still send it in, because we're going to try to be a lot more concise with, you know, we're going more stuff you should know podcast way, in terms of like, hey, let's be a little more informational.
Yeah. It's like stuff you should know, but
meets Harmontown.
They didn't know anything. Oh, yeah.
It's like stuff you should know meets Harmontown. Yeah. It's like what we're going for. So we are taking listener submissions still. You can submit those via DM on our Instagram at Natural Disasters Pod, or you can email us at hello@naturaldisasterspod.com.
That's hello@naturaldisasterspod.com.
Yeah.
There's thought and talk and idea of possibly doing a live pod.
I
would like to see a little feedback from that. I don't know. Yes.
If you would like to see, I'll post a thing on Instagram and everyone can vote. But if you'd like to see a live of us, and like, granted, the live, this is what the Patreon would actually be. It will be beneficial with, because Adam and I have been talking about doing events, and we'd like to have the event be where like you get to drink the wine with us.
Yes.
So like, for example, our Patreon, that money would go towards like buying a case of the wine so that the people that are coming to see us live can drink with us. And I almost like think that that's the future of the show, where like we can be together talking.
We can all interact and drink together.
Exactly. And answer questions and things like that. Even though I sort of hate live podcasts, but it's fine.
I don't know. I like them. I listen, like, going back to Harmontown, I listen to the shit out of it.
I know. Harmontown's, yes, but some of the other ones, whatever. Anyways, the point is that we have a lot of fun stuff happening. We really appreciate your support. Thank you guys so much for listening and like waiting on us. And
Happy New Year too.
Happy New Year.
2019. Holy 2019. Shit.
Fuck, dude. Gnarly.
It's I had a realization. It's been 20 years since I've been in high school.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's been like 14 for me.
Holy shit.
And then also we'd like to thank Genghis Cohen, where we are now recording in the heart of beautiful Los Angeles, California. And definitely would like to thank Mark and Med for having us. It's super awesome. And this is hopefully where we will also be having our live events. So super exciting stuff. And
Genghis Cohen on Fairfax Boulevard.
Yes, on historic Fairfax Boulevard. And on that note.
Yeah, I guess this is goodbye.
All right, we'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.